Blog Talk Radio.
Installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I will be your host this evening. Thank you guys that are listening in live right now. And tonight is going to be a very special night. It's just me. Usually we have a cluster of nerds on our podcast that talk about random topics of the day. But tonight's going to be a one-on-one interview with Dr. Missy Harris. Before we get to our interview, I just want to make a couple of announcements. And again, you know, guys, with this interview, it's very relaxed, very subdued. So go ahead and grab yourself a nice glass of wine or grab yourself a box of popcorn and go Olivia Pope style on this. All right. First of all, with the Black Girl Nerds website, which is www.blackgirlnerds.com, you can go to the BGN store. It's up on the navigation page at the top. If you click on that link, that will get you over to a landing page, which is the www.bgnstore.tumblr.com. We have a ton of T-shirts. We have pins. We've got hats, tote bags, buttons. Check it out because, you know, spring is here and the summer's approaching. The weather's getting really nice in various parts of the country. And I know that you want to look fun and flirty with wearing some really nice BGN attire. So check it out when you get an opportunity. And the proceeds for, you know, all those purchases do go to help these weekly podcasts and for us to manage the blog site. So it's definitely appreciated. Our second announcement is, which I'm really excited about, actually, Black Girl Nerds, which, you know, we just got started in February of last year. We have now formed a media partnership with Young Urban Lifestyles. So if you go to www.yulradio, YUL is for Young Urban Lifestyles, yulradio.com, you can actually see content that is streamed from our website onto their website. There's a badge on there that shows our BGN logo. So definitely check out the Young Urban Lifestyles website. They're an AM station that shows a ton of different content. They interview a lot of musical artists, celebrities. I saw an interview on there with Morris Chestnut. And I was like, oh my goodness, Morris Chestnut. Nice. So check them out. Ramon, who was on our podcast last week, he's a radio personality on there as well. So very excited about that partnership. And, you know, what we're doing with Black Girl Nerds is we really do want to work together. And, you know, this isn't just a sole thing where, you know, it's just me by myself trying to run this engine. I really want to partner up with other, you know, professional, intelligent, young Black men and women in our community and grow and become bigger and better and more visible in the world and sort of change those stereotypes about Black men and women. So thanks, Young Urban Lifestyles. Before we get started, I want to do an introduction to our guest tonight. We have Dr. Missy Harris. Should I refer to you as Dr. Harris or Missy?
You can refer to me as Missy. That is
okay.
Just fine.
Okay.
I'm only Dr. Harris from 8 to 5. Then I go back to my normal self again.
All right. So Dr. Missy Harris is a dentist turned model and actress from Columbia, Tennessee. She started a social media campaign in January of this year to become the first Black bachelorette. She believes that reality TV negatively represents Black women and chose to pursue this route to become a positive role model to Black women in media. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm definitely excited to be here with you all this evening.
So tell us, just to kind of fill in the gaps to that intro, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
All right, again, I went to dental school after undergrad, and then I did a residency in pediatric dentistry. I'm originally from an area right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. It's called Columbia, Tennessee. Really, really small town, about 30,000 people there, one high school. I was a cheerleader, ran track, did all of the normal stuff that you do in high school to have a lot of fun, and for the most part was just a really ambitious girl. The whole time I grew up, I was in gymnastics and ballet and what have you. But, you know, went to college and then went to dental school and then residency. And, you know, now I'm just kind of in between things because, of course, after my social media campaign kind of blew up, several other opportunities have come. So, you know, now I'm here, of course, talking to you all. I'm very excited to share my story and inspire anyone out there listening. And if you have any questions, definitely call in. Or feel free to message me on Twitter or Facebook at any time because I love, love, love answering questions to other women who are out there to really work hard and really reach their goals and pursue dreams that seem big.
And what got you interested in campaigning to be the next? Because basically, well, first of all, you got started in January and did this big social media campaign. Was it specifically to be on The Bachelorette, or was there other ventures that you were interested in?
Initially, it was completely to be the first African-American, and not even just the first African-American Bachelorette, but the first minority Bachelorette, because actually in the whole 10 years of the show – and I admit I am a big fan. The whole 10 years of the show, there has never been a minority in the lead role for The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. There has only been Caucasians in the lead role. So my goal was to be the first African-American, the first minority Bachelor / Bachelorette ever in history of the show. I seen a void. I knew I was an avid fan. However, I knew a lot of my friends didn't even know that the show was still on television. And being that I had actually gone through the whole casting for The Bachelor Sean season, I realized when I was there that there weren't very many African-Americans at the initial casting call.
Wow.
And I knew the reason for that. The reason for it was because there had not been many African-Americans who appeared on the show, or they simply got kicked off really, really early into the season, and no one ever remembers them. You know, unless you do a really, really ugly limo cry, you're not going to be remembered on that show. And the way that the show is set up, unless you make it to the end, close to the last rose or, you know, everything, you're not going to be the next Bachelorette. It's pretty much set up like that. And being that a black man or a black woman or any other minority has really made it close to the end. Of course, Catherine, she did this year, and now she's engaged to Sean. But as you see, we have Desiree, another Caucasian, who is the next Bachelorette. So my goal was not only to change that, but to also make people think about it. Why hasn't there been a minority in the lead role if this is reality TV? And we're here to portray reality. Well, in the real world, us minority women are doing big things out there. Minority men are doing big things out there. So why can't we be in the lead role in the show? And for a long time, the producers, they said, well, you know, we simply just can't seem to find minorities to come out to the casting calls and this and that and the other. Well, if I didn't come out, I don't know what coming out is because my social media campaign went by storm. Obviously, the producers noticed me. And they knew who I was because I, again, had gone through the whole casting for the Bachelor Sean season. So to say that they were not out there and unwilling to do the show, I think they're going to have to come up with a new statement now because everyone knows that Dr. Misi Harris did go out there. I was more than qualified and ready, definitely, to be America's Next Bachelorette.
Now, you mentioned that there was only a few black female contestants that auditioned with you. Why do you think that was? Why wasn't there a larger outcome of us when you went to do the audition?
Well, to be quite honest, again, a lot of my African-American friends, they don't watch the show simply because at this point there is there's nothing that they can identify with. There's no black women on the show normally. If there is one, it's picked off really quickly. And as you see this season, they did cast four women to be on the show, four black women. And I thought they were gorgeous, really, you know, qualified women to be on the show. But the last one, Robin, she did last until episode five. Leslie was the only one to have a one-on-one date. And then they were all gone. And to be quite honest, at this point, I don't even know if you all remember these people because they did have 15 minutes of fame, and that is not what I wanted. I wanted to go on the show to be an inspiration, to show black women that you don't have to act a complete mess on reality TV. You actually can have a little bit of class. You don't have to jump over tables, punch somebody, you know, go out in really short dresses. You can be professional. You let all the other contestants do that mess. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to do that to be entertaining. I was entertaining enough on social media to gain a huge follower account and to get really, really big articles to talk about me and to be on the Tom Joyner Morning Show and to have Steve Harvey talking about me on his morning show and to do, you know, HLN TV with AJ Hammer. If that's not entertaining and if that doesn't show that ratings can be good with an African-American in the lead role, surely Scandal does. And I think that that's one thing that has been missing.
And I want to touch on that because, you know, you started in January and you managed to build this very impressive large social media following. I mean, right now on Twitter you have over 36,000 followers. You have several thousand followers or fans, rather, through Facebook. How did you use social media to garner so many followers and fans?
Well, initially I used what I knew best, and what I knew a lot about was the modeling. So what I did was I went to a lot of open photo shoots, and a lot of people can do this through their hometown or wherever you live. I was initially a member of a site called Model Mayhem. It's a free website where you can pretty much post some pictures, and there's photographers out there that are looking to build their portfolio and models that want to build their portfolio, and it's like a free exchange service almost. So you go take pictures with these photographers and they give you the photos and then, you know, you're both kind of matching out. It's like a mutual beneficial relationship. So initially that's where a lot of my photos came from, was literally just through networking with photographers that were looking to build their portfolio. And I would do shoots all the time because I knew one thing that I had was some past modeling experience. And I knew, of course, to get male followers, they needed to be visual because they're visual beings. So I had to take lots of pictures, but I also wanted to make sure that I didn't try to feel sexy. So if you notice, a lot of my photos are really from the waist up or the neck up because I wanted to still remain a really positive role model because I knew a lot of young girls, you know, were following my page and watching me. And, of course, with me being in pediatric dentistry, a lot of my patients are really young, and I didn't want to put some type of negative thing in them or, you know, make them think that you had to be super sexy to be entertaining. They get enough of that on television now. I wanted to give them something different.
That's awesome. That's really good that you strategically made that decision because you see the opposite so much on various reality television shows, and it really saddens me when women feel the need to show off their body and feel like they have to sell their sexuality to get some sort of attention. So I'm glad that you did that. We do have a caller that's on the line. I'm not sure. They've been on hold for a while, so I don't know if they're listening through Skype, but I'll go ahead and bring them on. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? Okay. So just to give you guys a heads up, when you guys call in and listen through Skype, it does put you on the call. So I kind of figured that that was probably the case. So on Twitter, Lakia Poole mentions, what's difficult is that TV execs want to push catfights and drama, and we have to change the standard with our consumer power. Which is absolutely right. I totally agree with that. Do you think, Missy, that the reason why, because let's be honest, a lot of these reality TV shows that we see on the air, and I'm speaking of, you know, the black reality TV shows like The Real Housewives of Atlanta and For the Love of Hip and what is it, For the Love of Hip Hop, you know, do you feel that we have to support these shows because there's not enough black people on television to begin with, and we feel like we have to be loyal to these shows, even though they represent us in a negative light.
You know, I don't know if it's so much that we have to be loyal to the shows. I'll admit, I'm a huge fan of Basketball Wives, and I watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. So it is entertaining. I love it. I DVR it every time it comes on. But at the same time, does that mean that there can't be a positive black woman on a reality television show and the ratings still not be amazing? Absolutely not. And that's what I wanted to prove. And if anything, that's what I've been able to prove just with social media, because just think, I wasn't even on the TV show, and I was able to create this media storm and to have a lot of press, you know, just from that. But you have Ashley H., you have Robin, you have Brooke, and you have Leslie, who most people that are listening right now probably don't know who they are. But they're the four black women who were contestants on the show. And at the same time, I didn't do the show. I haven't had 2 seconds of TV time on ABC, yet here I am, and here I am able to, you know, reach out to a lot of people that I never thought I was going to be able to talk to. Project Runway designer Uli Hirschner, just met her this weekend in Chicago, got to wear her clothes. I mean, it's amazing. The people, the positive people that I have gotten to meet, just through social media and a positive social media campaign. So you don't have to go out there and think that, you know what, I have to fight and I have to do this for it to sell. I sold myself through photographs, through inspirational quotes, through keeping my mouth shut even when people said really, really mean things about me. And
that's
it worked.
Yeah.
It does. It's rough. But at the same time, I don't want to take complete credit for this, because this was definitely an act of God. I always knew that I had something in me where I wanted to be out in the entertainment industry, where I really liked fashion. And I just didn't know how to make it happen. So what I did is I went to school first and did a 10-year long program. And then as soon as that was, you know, coming to an end, I said, you know what? What do I have to lose? I have my degree. I will always be a dentist. Let me do something bold and courageous. Let me take a chance and just go for it. And the minute that I decided to go for it, I couldn't turn around because it went viral so fast. It's definitely something that you have to know. When you start it, you could never prepare yourself for what comes along with it, because I'm sure, like many people have heard, the industry is pretty rough. They will beat you down. They will wear you out. They will use you for anything that you're worth. And you just have to get smart about it. So before I started this campaign, I could tell you anything about your teeth. I could whiten them and straighten them and fix any cavity in the world. But I knew absolutely nothing about the entertainment world. So over these past 4 months, I have had to teach myself. I've had some wonderful mentors. Terry Johnson, you all surely remember her from Family Matters, and Punky Brewster from Maxine on Family Matters. Terry Johnson has helped me a lot. An author, his name is Purvis Taylor. He has helped me tremendously. So many people reached out to me because they could see something bigger than The Bachelorette behind my mission. And, of course, as the finale got close, it made me nervous because I knew immediately I was going to have to flip this. I knew that Desiree was going to be chosen to be the next Bachelorette well before America knew. I knew that she was the next one. But I, of course, had to keep up my campaign at the same time and gracefully walk away from it, but at the same time flip it, because I didn't want to be relevant one day and irrelevant the next.
Right.
So since I knew that that day was going to happen, and I probably had about 6 to 7 weeks to prepare for this situation, I had several type of contests on my Facebook page where I said, hey, who wants to come model with me sometimes? Like, who wants to come shop and model with me and see what it really is like behind the scenes? I picked two young ladies, Grace and Miranda Moss. They're all over my page, and they have their own Twitter accounts now and actually their own personal websites now. And they have been two young little girls that have pushed me so far. Anytime someone said something mean about me, they would call me. And these girls are 13 and 9 years old. So they were really pushing me along the whole way. And so these young little girls became my roses. Not, I didn't have 24 roses to hand out to 24 random men in America, but I gained thousands of roses in these young women who were really, really inspired by me. And that's one thing that I don't ever want to stop doing is showing, you know, young girls, and especially young black girls, this can happen for you. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning on January 2nd, and I started a social media campaign. Today is April 8th. I've appeared in over 30-plus publications, been on ABC and Nashville News Live, HLN TV with AJ Hammer, and tons of other things. I just now signed a great deal with World Hair Extensions, so I'm the new face of World Hair Extensions, so start following us. They're based out in Sacramento, California, a really great company, and so many other opportunities ahead. So if anything, look at my campaign as something that God planted a seed. I watered it, and it grew, and you can do the same thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We got a couple of callers, so I'm going to go ahead and bring one of our callers in and see if we've got any questions. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where you're from? Hello, caller. Okay. Got another one here.
Jamie, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chef Bob.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Jamie, how are you?
Doing good, Chef Bob. You got some questions for Dr. Missy Harris here?
Yeah, well, we want to get her away from that dentist drill. I can't stand the sound of those things.
No.
So. I've been in touch with Dr. Harris before. I'm supposed to teach her how to cook.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing good. And, yes, you need to teach me how to cook because, you know, I revealed to the world today that I didn't know how to cook, and I think I lost a few of my male followers.
the ones who were expecting you to cook a meal, huh?
Yes, I had, you know, people kept messaging me saying, oh, my gosh, I had a dream about you, and you cooked me this romantic meal. And, you know, then, you know, I fell in love with you, and I thought, that was not me because I do not cook. I am so sorry. I will help you find this woman, but it is not me because I eat tuna out of a can, eggs, and watermelon. That is my meal.
I can't cook either.
You can't cook either, Jamie?
I always get the same reaction. I'm like, I'll tell people I can't cook, and they're like, you can't cook? Because I look like I
know.
Jamie, you can't cook either?
I can't, no. I live in New York for so long, and all you do in New York is just go to restaurants and go out to eat. And so, yeah, I don't cook, unfortunately.
Well, good Lord. Have you looked at any of my recipes at all on the line or Jamie? Missy, have you looked at any of my recipes in the book?
Yes, I looked at the PDF file you sent me. I'm going to be honest, I still am a little bit intimidated. And a lot of it is because when I'm really hungry, I'm so impatient. So I start eating like a bowl of cereal while I'm trying to make something else, and then I'm over it by the time that something else is burning in the oven. So, I mean, I'm just so impatient. I have to have it immediate. When I'm hungry, I want it right now. So, honestly, that's probably the reason why I've actually been able to somewhat stay in shape because I don't cook, which means I don't really eat a lot of bad things when I'm at home.
Well, yeah, that's one way to look at it. I mean, a can of tuna, a can of soup, a can of tomatoes.
That's right. Some watermelon during watermelon season, and that's about it.
Do you have a question for Missy?
Yeah, I wanted to know what she's going to do. Is she going to go back to her dentist practice? Are you going to open a... In the town where you're from, or are you going to go to a larger city? What are your plans after
you? You know, I never left dentistry this whole time. I just managed, of course, the social media campaign and the other media type outlets while I was working. So yes, I'm actually moving back to the Nashville area. Well, I'll be practicing pediatric dentistry in a private practice. I'll just be an associate there. Because right now I have so many other opportunities that are out there for me. I definitely don't want to be stuck in an office from 8 to 5 for the rest of my life. I see myself as someone that can really go out there and have a loud voice. And even with my dental experiences and everything with my career, I feel like I can use dentistry more so as a ministry now and not so much as, you know, something that I have to worry about finances all the time. So I'm hoping to, you know, stay in the entertainment industry, have a foundation, work alongside with other nonprofit organizations, and, you know, travel all over the place and give kids a smile with my career in dentistry. So I'll never leave dentistry. I think that I just think about it a little bit different now. Before, I wanted to be a dentist that was in the practice from 8 to 5 o'clock, and now I know that I can reach out to way more children than I could ever see, you know, working Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday. So that's my goal. I'll always be in dentistry, and it's a blessing. God gave me these hands, and he gave me the talent, and now I want to just share it with more people besides the kids that actually walk through my office.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, that's all I wanted to note. You keep cooking, Jamie. Keep practicing.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Chef Bob. Really appreciate
okay.
it.
No
All
problem.
Right. Take care. All right. We got another caller. I'm going to bring them on real quick. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from? Hello, caller. Okay. I think that's the same person. They're probably trying to use Skype, and they're just like, I don't really want to be on the call. Okay. We do have some questions from Twitter.
Okay.
Looks like LaTanya, who is a BGN contributor, she's on our podcasts quite frequently. She asks, do you have any tips and tricks to making it in entertainment? I am a blogger, but an aspiring model and performer.
Well, I'll tell you, bloggers, I have to give a big shout-out to all the bloggers out there, including you, Jamie, of course, because bloggers is actually how I got started. There were several bloggers who initially found out about my story, and it just so happens that there was a contributor for NBC The Griot who was actually following one of these blogs who picked up my story. And once The Griot picked up my story, that's the way it kind of went viral, and then all of the other magazines like Madame Noir and The Huffington Post and things like that picked it up. I would say just keep pushing forward. Use social media for all it's worth. It's free. You
mm-hmm.
open up multiple pages. Open up a fan page. Open up, you know, for instance, Misi the Model page. Really use, learn about Facebook more because the way Facebook kind of works is, of course, the more people that you have that like your page, the higher you can show up on the news feed and things like that. Throughout my campaign, I did use some Facebook advertising type things, and they're cheap, though. So, for instance, you can pay like $6 to make your post show up higher on the news feed. I mean,
mm-hmm.
in the grand scheme of things, sometimes that would create 20 or 30 plus more followers in a day.
Wow.
You do have to post a lot, but don't post so much that it drives people nuts. Post something that's really inspirational and try to be as candid as possible because when you start doing radio interviews and things like that, people want to know the real you, and if you can't speak candidly and you're not real, then, you know, people kind of get annoyed with that. Again, I would say take as many photos as possible. Do YouTube videos. I've done the stupidest YouTube videos just in my car, and actually that's how I started my campaign is because throughout the whole Bachelor contesting process, when I was going to do the testing process, I actually had been making YouTube videos along the way
YouTube
so that I didn't forget about it.
And yeah. YouTube, you can make some crazy money off of YouTube. Like,
yes, you can.
Just, I mean, I saw, I think it was the Ricky Lake show. She had some guests appear that were like YouTube stars. And this
mm-hmm.
guy, like, he's a kid. He's like 18, 19 years old. He's the number one subscribed user on YouTube. And all he does is just these little stupid pet tricks with his friend. And, you know, they're joshing around and dressing up in all of these different costumes. And he makes millions of dollars a year because
exactly.
those subscribers, you earn ad revenue off of the amount of subscribers you get. So that's really good advice about the YouTube.
Exactly. And again, it's free and you can retape and tape all over again if you want to. And also use your friends. Like they have, I'm sure your friends are really talented. So for instance, I had friends that were into videography. And
mm-hmm.
so sometimes my friends, they would say, hey, let's do a video. So I was like, okay, and they could edit the whole thing for me. And, of course, it helps them, too, because as your fans grow, their fans grow as
right.
well. And for me, I would wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, my goodness, you know what? I want to do a Project Prom. And that's something that I just actually wrapped up. And it was kind of where I wanted to inspire young girls, for instance, that couldn't normally afford an expensive prom dress to, you know, nominate themselves or nominate someone you know to, you know, win this prom dress. And so while you're trying to build your brand or you're trying to come out as a model, you're also giving back. And people love it when you give back. It does increase your popularity because people know that you're not out just for yourself. So I think that's something really, really big to do, not to get discouraged if you don't, you know, make it in the next 3 months. I'll say my story was really unconventional in that I went after something and it totally went viral within, you know, a 3 month period of time. And I thank God for that. But if you want to add me on Twitter, I will tweet about you. Add me on Facebook. I will post about you. And that's the thing. It's all about making connections. Yeah. I didn't know Jamie. I reached out to Jamie on Twitter, crazy enough, right?
Yep,
I'm like, hey, will you write about me? And then, of course, Jamie then says, hey, you want to do my blog show? You know, make sure you know all of your connections.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. Add me on Twitter. Talk to me, because that's one great thing about getting a lot of great women together who have big dreams is that really we can help each other. Sisterhood is still real.
Yes.
It's still available. We just need to get together and really inspire one another, because I'll tell you, I don't really want to be a model. I'm only 5'5½", and notice I do add that a half to it. The only thing that I could ever do is print, you know, so from the neck up. But believe it or not, there's a great market for that. And I always tell aspiring models this one thing. There are a lot of pretty women out there, a ton. But be a pretty woman and have something else to add to it. So for me, people consider me a pretty face, but she was also a dentist. And she also kind of went out for this reality TV show. And she's also inspiring young girls to, you know, reach big and dream big. So don't be so one-dimensional. Don't be so stuck on modeling. What if someone wants you to do a radio segment? Be ready for it. Practice.
Exactly.
What if someone wants you to be a spokesperson, or what if someone wants you to do a commencement at a graduation? Take those opportunities and use that to build your brand. You don't want your brand to be one-dimensional, because what happens when, you know, you start breaking out one day, you get stressed out and your hair falls out or something? Then you have nothing. So make sure
right.
that you really reach out to a lot of people. And don't be scared. I tweet people that never respond back to me. I tweeted Tyler Perry today. I mean, come on. Let's see if he responds back to me. But you know what? At the same time, I've tweeted people and be like, oh, my gosh. You know, I tweeted Candy Burris the other day, and she tweeted me back. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Candy, did you really just do that?
Oh, my God.
People are really out there. Cynthia Bailey has tweeted me back several times. Sinbad, you know, Terrell Owens, he's a good friend of mine now. He, you know, that's, we met through social media. So even though you think people aren't listening, and
people
the way
people are listening.
People are listening, and then you have to research social media, because something I learned about Twitter, depending on how many followers you have, when you tweet, sometimes only 15% of the people following you see your tweet. So you think people aren't listening to you. Well, unless they're hooked to Twitter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they don't even see your tweet. So I did a lot of research as my campaign grew, because I knew I had to, of course, continue to get followers. So, you know, I was tweeting out Tom Jordan Morning Show and tweeting out Steve Harvey and all these people. Did they respond immediately? No. But as soon as then, I ended up in a bigger publication, and then they responded. So don't be discouraged if they don't respond back immediately, because I can tell you now, I'm not, you know, super famous or anything like that. And even sometimes I get a little bit overwhelmed on how many messages I get. So I can't imagine how Tyra Banks feels, because I'm sure I'm sure she's overwhelmed, and she probably wants to respond to everyone.
Right.
And even I can't respond to everyone. But
right.
please
right.
follow me. I will, if you want to message me, send me a personal message on Facebook. I will talk about you.
That's awesome. And one thing, too, guys that are listening in, be careful who you talk about on Twitter. Because
yes.
I was, luckily, it was me and another Twitter follower. We were just fangirling over Chris Noth. Chris Noth plays Mr. Big on Sex and the City. We were talking about him, and then he went ahead and tweeted to us because I think I had said, oh, yeah, I'm a really big fan of Mr. Big. He's really hot. And he was like, oh, why, thank you. And it was really Chris Noe's, you know, actual Twitter account. So be careful who you talk about, because the celebrities do see, even if you don't use their Twitter handle, if you just type in their name in Twitter, they still see your tweets. So
they do. And then just be really careful when someone pisses you off, because let me tell you, I have been super pissed throughout this 4 months. I mean, people have said some really mean things about me. Step away from your computer, please, and turn all your notifications off for a good hour, and you'll feel a lot better. Drink you a glass of wine. Because what you don't want to do is mess up your reputation and your brand, because some silly person out there wanted to judge you before they ever knew you. And right. Have I still made rookie mistakes and said something mean? Absolutely. Was I pissed off yesterday? Absolutely. But you have to definitely know when to step away for a minute, drink you a little glass of wine, calm down, eat you a piece of cheesecake, and then, you know what, go back on social media and get it back together. Because these people that have enough time to talk about you have nothing else going on in their life.
Exactly.
People have written pages and pages about me, and I'm like, do you have a job? Or is your job seriously just sitting there to talk about me right now? You have to think. You must be pretty relevant for someone to sit there and talk about you for, you know, two or three or four paragraphs. Thank you, because actually some of the mean people out there that bash me in the media were the reasons why some positive people actually noticed me, because they called me or tweeted me or messaged me and said, you know what, I've seen something so mean that someone wrote about you, and that's what made me contact you, and that's why I want to interview you.
Wow.
So really use that to your advantage, because, again, haters are motivators.
Yeah, and there's
and
always going to be
truth.
And there's always going to be haters, and for me, I always chalk it up to insecurity. People that choose to go that route and, you know, constantly criticize, it's majorly, you know, on their part, a lot of insecurity issues. So, you know, I always tell people, don't take it personal. It's usually their own issues that they're dealing with. We've got two questions from Geek Soul Brother, so I want to address his questions really quick, and then we'll move on. He asks, Dr. Harris, if you did get on The Bachelorette, do you think the male choices would become more diverse? And his second question is, should TV1, BET, Univision, and others make their own Bachelorette?
I think, number one, if I was chosen to be, you know, the next Bachelorette, say, on the next season or something like that, it would have to be announced way before they announce it, say, the way they do it now, because going through the casting process myself, I know exactly how it goes. And actually, before the season is over, it's already down to, say, finals casting weekend, which means there's only about 70 to 75 contestants left out of the thousands and thousands that have tried out. So that means they would have already had to start casting a diverse group of men, you know, knowing that they would have a, say, black Bachelorette on the show. I personally would not do the show if there were only white men on the show. I would like there to be a diverse cast. As far as if VH1, BET, or, you know, TV1 did a show like that, sure, I think they should do it. Absolutely. I think they should still keep the cast diverse. I think they should put a spin on it. As in, I don't think there has to be a main character necessarily. Why don't we put 10 men and 10 women in a house together, instead of eliminating people one night after one random date that you did in a helicopter? I mean, who likes to go in a helicopter anyway? I mean, I'm just being honest. That's not real. So instead of doing something like that, let's put people in real life situations, real dating situations, and see how that works versus kicking somebody off after, you know, 24 hours with Rose and the drama. Do I necessarily want to be a contestant on that show? No, but would I host it? Absolutely.
Nice.
So if they want to make a new show, I would definitely host it, but I don't want to be one of those 10 women at this point. I think I've moved along from that. I'm not a, you know.
I don't think I do something positive.
Mm-hmm.
I really support your effort. I mean, I'm definitely, you know, willing to blast out even just through my blog and through my Twitter and social networks about what you're doing. But I really hope that there can be more for you, because you're such an intelligent and respectful woman to be more than just being on The Bachelorette. Because I just don't like those kinds of shows. I wish they would just go away. And I like reality TV shows, but the kinds I watch are shows that are empowering. Like, I like watching Shark Tank. I like the idea that, these people invent these great gadgets and then they become CEOs and entrepreneurs.
It's amazing. I bought some lip gloss from there. It's like this lip gloss that evidently if you give it to your boyfriend and you have, it's like male lip gloss and then you put it on and then it turns into like pina colada. I'm serious. It's like strawberry, pineapple, and you kiss them, it turns into pina colada. They have a brand. I'll have to post it later because I bought it and it's actually pretty cool. So I am a big fan of stuff like Shark Tank as well. I'm a reality TV fan, period. I'm a TV addict. I like everything and anything fashion. So, you know, like I said, I've kind of moved on from The Bachelor and Bachelorette, but I would definitely host a reality show. And, I mean, I would go Dancing with the Stars and all that kind of stuff. It's just fun to me.
I could watch Dancing with the Stars. I can watch that. I can watch Undercover Boss. That was a good one that I liked. But yeah, like the Housewives and basketball.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And you know, I'm really interested in
Why do they have to have shows with a whole bunch of black women together, where we're just so catty and we're, you know,
so catty,
thieves out and, you know, and fighting over very materialistic things that
so
have
silly, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? We're showing right now that, again, sisterhood still exists, and we don't all hate each other, and we actually can motivate one another and use one another to move on in the industry. And, you know, I know for all the listeners out there, Jamie and I have already talked about, we're definitely going to continue to collaborate and push one another forward. I think that's what more African-American women need to do because we're all so talented in different ways. Let me tell you, I can't write it all, but can Jamie? Absolutely. So... Will I be asking Jamie to write something for me? Absolutely. And again, the bloggers is what got me started. The bloggers, I mean, I owe them so much because before anyone knew anything about me, it was the bloggers that I knew I could reach out to and that were accessible and that would respond. And again, that's why I wanted to make sure I always kept myself accessible to people because you don't want to get to the point where you've gone Hollywood and you're too good for, you gotta remember where you came from. You have to remember where you came from and don't let these materialistic things change you. I was telling Jamie before we got on the radio, you know, I get crazy stuff at my door all the time, $1,000 pair of shoes, $1,200 purses and things like that. But does that really matter in the grand scheme of things?
No.
Absolutely not. It doesn't matter. These are materialistic things, and especially when you're out in the public eye, you know, you wear it one time, you do a photo shooting at one time, and then you really don't care about it. And when it all comes down to it, you're at home. I'm at home in my one-bedroom apartment. You know, I have a normal life. I don't drive some big fancy car or anything like that. I just had a plan. I had a dream. And luckily now, due to some wonderful people, I have a book coming out in July. And this all happened in, like I said, 3 months, really. And so please use me as an inspiration and use me, talk to me, tweet to me, add me on Facebook. If you want to DM me, just do that. You know, I'm not looking for any extra attention from you. Use me to help you, push you forward, because I'll tell you, everything out there is not good, and everybody out there is not good. So really be careful, because when you get out in the media, you really want it so bad. I call it being thirsty, because then it looks like everything is good. Everybody to ask you, oh, will you do this or will you do that? You're like, oh, yeah. Don't forget, you're actually the boss. People want you.
Right.
So don't let people flip it around, because I didn't know that at first. So everybody that wanted me to do something, I considered them the boss, and I was like, oh, sure, what time? What time do you want me to do this? No, what? I'll tell you what time I can do it.
Right.
You have to hold yourself like that initially, or else people will take advantage of you really, really quickly, and you don't want that to happen. Let them know you're a boss.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that Oprah Winfrey said, and this is coming out of the words of Oprah Winfrey herself, she says that the most successful people in the world go out to make others successful. So that's a really good principle to follow. We've got a caller on the line. You've been waiting for a while, so hopefully you're still on.
Hi, I am.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you from?
As usual, it's Tara. I just randomly called in, of course.
Oh, hey, Tara. Tara's a BGN contributor. How's it going?
Hi, Tara. How are you? I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Doing great.
So I have a question. I see that you're a humanitarian, and for the past month or so, I've been trying to get some things together in order for me to start a nonprofit organization here in Maryland where I live, and then hopefully branching it out to something bigger, something better, something to actually contribute to. Well, it's going to contribute anyway, but like on a huge grand scale of things. I'm just wondering,
right,
how can one like start? How does one go about that at first? Because I started looking at the paperwork, and then I was like, dear sweet baby Jesus, this is too much paperwork.
It's so crazy. I know. It's so crazy. I'll have to say that I have to owe my sister. I owe my sister a lot because she's an attorney. So, and my brother is actually a pastor, but he owns an adoption agency. So whenever I was looking to start my nonprofit, and it's not even completed yet, I reached out to a lot of people like that because I had no idea about those forms. And as you, I can tell you already know, it's just crazy. So many things that you have to submit and so many recommendations you have to have from this person and that person. It can still be affordable. I would say reach out to one of your attorney friends maybe that is just starting that can help you do some of the research because I'll be honest, I did not do that stuff by myself. What I did do is you can Google like how to start, you know, nonprofit, and you can kind of get the paperwork that other people have already put together for their nonprofit organizations, and you can kind of use it, you know, as a template for yours. And once you get the ball rolling, it can kind of go really fast. If you do have a little bit of money to invest in it, it can go a lot faster, of course, if you hire an attorney. And like I said, you can hire a new attorney or maybe reach out to one of your attorney friends or even someone in law school right now would be happy to take on that type of thing because they can also use that, you know, on their resume. So that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean by, like, not using your friends, but collaborating with your friends because I had so many friends that, you know, were in law school and things like that and that were writers and journalists and, you know, photographers and videographers. So, like, come together with these people and say, hey, you know, can you help me do this? And it can be a really great thing and a team effort, and you can definitely make it happen. But obviously getting an attorney to push those papers for you really quickly is, you know, the easy way to go. And it just so happens that my sister is an attorney. So I kind of, you know, called her 15 billion times until she's done it for me. But whenever I finish with all my paperwork, because it's not finished, I will be more than happy to share that with you as a template. And, you know, you can kind of just use that as a guide if you would. Like, I can't promise you it's the best.
No worries. That's better than anything because it's very much like you said, when you look at everything at first, it's very daunting and you have no idea what to start. Like, do I do this paper first? Do I do that paper first? Like, do I call the county first? Do I call the state? Who do I talk to? And
I know, and it's really just a formality because a lot of times they just want to make sure you have the papers. They're not really, I don't think, going through and reading all of the crazy stuff you wrote about and your vision and your mission and all this stuff and your funding. They just want to make sure that you've gone through the correct, you know, process to get it done, filed the correct paperwork, and that you're actually legit. After that, I think they just kind of, you know, go ahead and say, okay, yeah, you can do this. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard of GoFundMe, which right now I'm in the process of trying to buy a house, so all my funds are getting gently zapped on virtually a daily or weekly basis. So would you recommend, like, the startup funds for me to say, okay, I'm trying to get this paperwork in order, I'm trying to do this in order, can I just start a GoFundMe and hope that the crowdsourcing masses will love me enough to help me at least, as far as the finances are concerned, get that ball rolling?
Yeah, or, I mean, again, are you really active on Facebook and Twitter
Facebook, Twitter, all of it.
Yeah, and so, and do you have a lot of attorney friends? Or I mean, I do for sure, so we can definitely, if you want to post something, I'll definitely share it for you and try to find, you know, things like that. But as far as the funding part, that's hard for me to comment on because I give a service in dentistry. Funding mine was easier because I could literally offer dental services and ask people to say, donate, you know, a child a smile, which would be however many dollars. And then, of course, that was in my hands to do it because, you know, I can actually give this service and then charge for it or whatever. And so it was almost like I was using my own ability to fund it, but it was still like other people, hey, I want to donate this amount of money for this child to have these dental services. And then, of course, you know, that's how you can build it. But I've also done other things such as silent auctions and things like that, and that was merely just reaching out to companies that I did not know, reaching out to local salons and spas and laser hair removal companies. I mean, I'm telling you, probably every company in the world, I'm probably on their bad list right now because I reach out to these people and I'm like, hey, do you want to donate laser hair removal package? And then, you know, I give it a, I'll sign an auction. It's simple as that. You just have to be creative on how am I going to, you know, get this money to fund, you know, this nonprofit organization. And, of course, you really can't start doing too much of that until you have certain paperwork in hand. Mm-hmm. But as far as having a fundraiser, you know, doing a fundraiser you can do. You just can't have a fundraiser for your nonprofit that doesn't exist yet.
Makes sense.
It's just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's ways around it for sure.
And, Tara, you're a great writer, so have you created a blog site?
I haven't, but it's something, like, I have my, I just restarted up my own personal blog, and
mm-hmm.
I've been, it's too, like, there's so much going on in my life right now where it's like, oh, I don't know what to do with myself because there's just so much. But
well,
I have thought about at least throwing it out there in at least my own blog, since there's only, like, two posts on it, where saying, hey, this is what I want to do, because I'm very active. I'm
sure.
very much against human trafficking, and I'm very much for human rights, universal rights. Like, I am
right.
so for the fact that everyone has the right to live their life how they should, no matter where you live, your race, color, creed, religion, blah, you deserve
right.
happiness. So,
well, I don't know how much time you have, but have you ever considered using your writing services, you know, as something to market for funding? Because I'll tell
yeah.
you and everybody, I don't have time to blog. And actually, just on Saturday, I hired someone to almost be my ghostwriter slash blogger for my blog because I don't have time. So what I do is, you know, email this person everything that I want to talk about. And then, of course, these are still my own ideas, but I do pay them to blog about it. And there are a lot of people out there, I tell you, that would pay you money to blog for them to keep their website going. So that's another option,
like,
if you have time.
I would love to do it because money is a motive for me. Like, if someone says, hey, I'll pay you to write my blog, I'd be like, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't know. Like, I've signed up for, like, freelancer.com and some other stuff, but those sites are kind of leery to me because there are people literally from, like, all over the world. I like to deal with just the U.S. I'm sorry. I just feel a little
yeah,
bit more safe, comfortable with that.
You know, right. Well, market it on, you know, market it on social media, because I simply literally posted something the other day that said I was looking for a social media guru to work really, really closely with me, you know, and help me manage some of my social media accounts. And, you know, people just asked really quickly, and, you know, I hired someone that quick. So I do think that the need is out there because a lot of people don't have time to blog and they want to keep their website going. And it, for me, like, I look at Jamie's website and I'm like, oh, my goodness, my little WordPress is nothing compared to what she has going on her site. You know, and so I'm always looking for help to do things. I know a lot of people are as well, because if you're good at one thing, for instance, I can take pictures all day. You start asking me to blog and stuff like that, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So I think you have a service right there that you could offer and really market. And I even have another friend that has a service, and, you know, she charges between $30 and $40 per post. That's quick money for a good writer.
Yeah.
So.
And I just tweeted you, there's a website called hubpages.com. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they pay bloggers to write for them, and they're a reputable website and company, and they're based in the U.S., so you might want
okay.
to check them out.
That I can do then.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling in.
No
and
problem.
Definitely
Thank
reach out to me if there's anything that you know, have any questions about in the future. You can add me on my personal page on Facebook and things like that. My campaign page is actually under construction because I'm trying to convince Facebook to let me add to the title. Which, by the way, anybody out there that ever makes a public figure page on Facebook, you know that after you reach 200 likes, Facebook makes you go through quite a bit of things to change the name or add to the page.
Yes.
Crazy stuff, right,
yes.
that you just never think about. And
yep.
so I'm submitting all these forms. So I've actually had to unpublish my page at the moment while I'm trying to get them to change it. So just know that, words wise.
Yes. Thanks, Tara, for calling in.
Thank you. I'll keep listening. Have a nice night, guys.
Okay, you too. All right, so looks like there's a question on Twitter. This is from Ashley. She says, hi, Missy. Have you considered producing content?
Like a show? Is that what she's asking?
She didn't specify, but yeah, any sort of content, probably TV show. that's where you're going toward, right?
I've considered it. And, you know, I just don't know yet because I don't know a lot about production. So, again, I have to consult with Cherry Johnson. She's been in the business for 31 years. She knows all about it. So before I dive into stuff that I know nothing about, I try to reach out to the correct people. I want to make sure that anything that I do, any type of show that I do, is actually on a pretty nice network, you know, like VH1 or TV1 or something like that. I don't want it to be on a network that no one ever gets to see. So I'm just kind of treading lightly right now because one thing I've learned is sometimes the impatient will give you the best opportunities. And so if a show definitely, you know, comes in the near future, I want to make sure, too, that I have a lot of say in it. I don't want people just to be able to use me and my face and what I've created and then damage it by putting me, you know, as a host on some show that I don't believe in. So, again, it's continually trying to remain faithful to my brand and, you know, portraying myself in the most positive light as possible. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not Claire Huxtable. You know, I say a bad word every now and then. And and again, I get mad sometimes. But, you know, I'm still keeping my eyes open and trying to be smart as possible because every opportunity is not a good opportunity. So if I get a good opportunity to, you know, produce a really nice show with some people that know what's going on, I'll definitely, you know, take that at the time.
And, you know, one thing I want to make sure to get out there to those of you that are listening, you know, Missy went ahead and created this large social media following in a very relatively short period of time. And a lot of the people that follow the BGN Twitter account and follow us in Fantas through Facebook, a lot of them are, you know, content creators, they're comic book artists, they're podcasters, they're writers, they're filmmakers, and they want to get their content put out there. So what kind of advice would you give to all of us out there who are independently doing this on our own on how we build that social media following and then penetrate into mainstream media like you've managed to do through, you know, Huffington Post and Steve Harvey and CNN?
Mm-hmm. I think that the big thing, like I said, that I used initially was contacting a lot of bloggers. And then, of course, making sure that your story is really unique and that really grabs people's attention. And the thing that grabs a lot of attention with my campaign was the fact that I actually used my ethnicity in the title. And, of course, I got slammed in the media a lot for that because people said, why didn't you just put, you know, Missy Harris for the next Bachelorette? Well, who really would have paid attention to that? Nobody. Nobody mm-hmm. would have cared if I wanted to be the next Bachelorette, if I was some random girl. You have to create something that's really, like, grabbing and, you know, really takes people by surprise and it's like, hold on, I want to see what's going on. Again, I don't, you know, hesitate to say, I did use some paid ads on Facebook, and that just means that you can have an advertisement on the side of Facebook. I'm sure you've seen this where it's just some random advertisement for some hair product shows up.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that really cheaply, as in you can set it up where your maximum that you want to spend is $50 a month or something, and they will put your advertisement up for so many, you know, times throughout the day. And then, of course, I would just annoyingly ask all of my friends to share everything and anything that I post because, you know, you look on some people's site and you post something and people like it, but what you really want people to do is share it. You get people to share it. You get people that are out in the media, even just a little bit, to share it, and it grabs people's attention. The same thing with Twitter. You know, you start a Twitter account, and for me, I didn't know too much about it, and so I use Twitter ads, and that's straight through Twitter. That's not like buying fans or anything like that. It's simply having an ad that Twitter will put out for you. And again, now, you know, that starts costing money, of course, but you don't have to spend a ton of money doing it. And, for instance, just yesterday, one of my friends has a new book that came out and he's really trying to promote it. Purvis Taylor, you can follow him on Twitter at Purvis Taylor. But we were like, well, you know, we really want to get more people knowing about your book. I think the book is great and he inspires a lot of young men out there. So I simply sponsored a post. It cost me $6 to sponsor a post he probably ended up with another 20 plus followers within 3 hours. So it depends. You know, if you can do that every now and then, and again, you have to think, you know, hopefully the people that are following you have a great follower base. Giveaways are always good, as in I simply get a Mac gift card, $50 Mac gift card, and say, hey, like my page, and you might get this Mac gift card. And it's true, you might get it. But you're not. Somebody's going to get it, that's for sure, and you're not lying. You're simply saying, hey, like my page, and you'll be entered to get this gift card. You have to use things that are going to really draw people in, and then, of course, keep them. Because I lose followers every day. If I don't, I didn't post a lot today because I was really, really busy actually being a black girl nerd and presenting my research. I had a research event, so I couldn't post very much today. I lose followers. I lose, you know, Facebook friends. I told people I couldn't cook today, and I think I lost 10 guys that were following my page. That's okay. You're going to lose some. You're going to gain some. But again, add me on Facebook. I will, like I said, I will post for you. I will, you know, tell people to like your page. And I'm really out here to, you know, inspire other young women. And we can all gain this following because it's not hard. You think about how many people are really on Twitter. My little 35 or 36,000 is nothing. You have people out there that have millions and millions of followers and they get stuff retweeted 80-something times. I'm lucky if I get, you know, 2 or 3 retweets, even with my many followers, because, again, only 15% of most of your followers are seeing your tweets. Don't forget that. It's something that I learned right in the middle of my campaign, and it's true. Look how fast Twitter is. It's just so fast. So unless
right.
that person is following you and they can DM you or something like that, it's not that they're ignoring you. They just simply can't see it. And I would also say make sure you have your Google Plus account linked up, and that's how you can start making your pictures, like, show up on Google Images. Because now if you Google me and you say, like, Niecy Harris Bachelorette, pages and pages of pictures will show up. Before January, this did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get linked in on Google Plus, do every social media thing that you could ever imagine, Instagram, Tumblr, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, be annoying. But you will be able to, you have to be searchable. You have to show up on a search engine. And it is difficult at first, but start linking in on Google Plus. Again, this is stuff I had no idea about. I simply researched it. And when I say I researched it, I went into Google and said, how do you make my pictures show up on Google Images? And it told me. The information
awesome.
Is out there. Just you got to figure it out. Because I promise you, before I started this social media campaign, the only photo that would show up on me, like on Google Images, was some, like, I think it was when I was on the homecoming court in high school. That was not good. that was it. I mean, I'm 28 years old. So that was, like, well over 10 years ago. And then if you, like I said, if you Google me now and click on Images, Niecy Harris Bachelorette, hundreds of pictures show up. That's what you want. You want your name to be out there, but make sure you're taking photos that you want to be seen because you don't want a bad photo to show up first. But really, really research the social media and how to make yourself show up, you know, really quickly on those type of search engines. And I didn't hire a marketing person to do that for me. I simply took some time and researched it myself. And even when I first started my Twitter account, I actually went to Barnes & Noble and purchased Twitter for Dummies. I still don't have a hashtag that is, like, really popular. I keep changing it, and I'm confused, but stick with the hashtag, even on Instagram and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't say even more. Big giveaways are great. Even if you're a blogger or a writer, have a giveaway that you will blog about a person on your website. Like, follow me and be entered into this contest. I may talk about your brand on my website. People love giveaways. I like them.
Yeah. Oh,
I hear that stuff feel, and it really brings people to your site. So think about your talents and what your friends' talents are. Come together and kind of do that. A lot of my friends that are authors, I've even actually talked to them about it. Because at first I was the one asking them for help, and then they started asking me for help, like, hold up, how did you get your social media so fast? And I told them, are you giving away books ever? Do you ever give away a book? Ever? And, you know, I was telling them, I was like, you got all these books, but why don't you say, you know what, my first 10 people that like my page, you get a book. What is it hurting you? Some postage?
Exactly.
No, but
exactly.
You're getting a lot of followers, and you're going to get some inspirational followers and some people with a lot of pull. You never know who's watching your page. That's
yep.
how I got my first big interview, was from a blog, and again, it was an NBC contributor, NBC Rio contributor who was following that blog. It can happen.
It
and
can.
Again, that's why I'm talking to Jamie. I tweeted her.
Well, thank you,
that's
Missy,
it.
For calling in.
Absolutely.
This was an amazing, informative interview. I learned so much stuff from you, and this is definitely not going to be the last time that we'll be speaking. So I'm really I'm glad to have known you and formed a partnership via social media. Social media is where it's at, guys. It really is a great opportunity for you to foster relationships with some really exceptional people. So thank you so much. Our blog talk live session kind of got cut off there, but you guys will be able to listen to this segment through the archived episodes. And tune in next week. Next week on Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the episode that we will be discussing is nerdiness in our culture, in the Black culture, being perceived as being white. So that should be a really interesting discussion. So definitely tune in next week for that. And Missy, did you have any information that you want to put out there to anyone as to where they can reach you, your social networks, your website? Before we go.
Oh, sure. Actually, yes. So definitely you can follow me on Twitter at Missy Harris. That's MisseeHarris. You can add me on Facebook at Missy Harris. And I have a .com. It's just MisseeHarris.com. I keep things pretty simple. Even my Instagram is at Missy Harris. And one more piece of advice, try to use the same handle for everything so people don't have to search for you, because nobody feels like doing that.
Yes.
Try not to be too creative when you're changing your handles and things like that. But thank you all, especially to all the Black Girl Nerds listeners. Thank you for welcoming me to your group. I will definitely be calling in on future podcasts, asking questions. And I'm excited to future collaborations with all of you. So definitely don't hesitate to contact me, because I haven't gone Hollywood, I will respond.
Awesome, awesome. And even when you do go Hollywood, I'm sure, you know, you'll still have a humble personality. And, you know, those are the most successful people. Those are the people that stay in the business for a long time, is when they stay the same throughout the process, no matter how high you manage to go up in your career. So I appreciate that.
Thank you all so much. You all have a great evening. Thank you, Jamie.
Take care, Missy.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye.